Melissa, let's start with what is important in folks' lives. What are you hearing that people feel is really important right now to them?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think we've been in a number of spots around the country at this point. We've been to the Middle West, we went to the Mississippi Delta, we were up in Michigan, and now we're here in Arizona and now in New Mexico, here in Arizona and New Mexico. And I think, you know, part of the problem with living in Washington is it's such a bubble, and you can get so consumed with the fire hose of news coming out of the White House and of Congress, and it's really important to step back and get out in the country and talk to people. I think by and large, what we've been hearing is that people are very concerned with, as would be expected, their daily lives, whether it's healthcare or unemployment or jobs or what the future is for their kids. I mean, I think a theme through a lot of the places we've been, especially in the smaller towns, is that there are no opportunities for the children in the places where they grew up, and that generation is moving up and away. It's a story we've seen all around the country. And that has been one thing that's united a lot of the places we are, is how to keep communities vital and vibrant and keep young people there.
So it's really fair to say that the economy is dominating nationally, a lot of places, in different ways maybe, but it's all really about making a good living, attracting jobs to your community, having proper health care.
Yep, I think those are themes that resonate no matter where you go. And obviously, you know, other questions that we've been trying to explore in these stories is how does where you're from shape your identity, shape how you see who you are and what your relation is with the rest of the country? And I think here, you know, especially along the border, those questions really come to the fore in terms of, are we seen as being part of this country? Are we seen as being the other?
Yeah. I am particularly interested in another question that you're asking in this project, and that is what does the future look like? As you know, that we've seen so many national polls in recent years where this number goes down, down, down on a national level, that people are not hopeful about the future. And I would dare say that since the election, that there are some people who are more pessimistic than ever about where the future leads.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think of the conversations that we've had, and I think they run largely counter to that narrative. I think a lot of what we've heard from people is that they think their children have more opportunities than they did, and they want them to have more opportunities than they did. And even if it means moving away from the town where they grew up, that they think the future is brighter. I'm thinking of a really fascinating community of Chinese who came to the Mississippi Delta to work in grocery stores. They started grocery stores. The kids grew up in grocery stores, literally living in the back of the store, and now they have moved away. The parents very proudly said, you know, one's a doctor, one is in law school, one is an accountant, but they're not where they grew up. They've moved away. It's not to say it's the case everywhere in the country by far, but I think there has been, you know, it's the classic American story of building a life and propelling your children to aspire to more than what they had when they grew up.
I'm glad you've had the opportunity to talk to some folks who are optimistic.
I know. Believe me, I'd be very distressed about this whole project if I didn't. And I don't mean to paint too rosy a scenario. I mean, obviously, there are tons of communities that are hurting really, really profoundly. So I don't want to be all Pollyanna-ish about it. But I do think there is a thread running through some of the people we've talked to. And look, it's anecdotal. We've only been to a certain number of places and talked to a certain number of people. But I have heard that pretty consistently throughout.
Have there been any moments in traveling the country where it was really, in your view, representative of the other side, that the fact that our political climate has been swept up in this unbelievable change since the November election, and getting to those folks who are not so optimistic, who are even worried, and maybe worried in a way they've never been before, really, because things even feel surreal sometimes.
I can't say that we have tapped into that deep of a strain of that feeling. It's been hovering around the edges. I mean, when we were in Independence, Kansas, talking with some folks, and Kansas is a very red state, and we were with a group of people, some of whom it was clear they were on different sides of the line, and they said, you know, we are Kansas polite. We just don't talk about it. So I think, you know, in that town at least, it was certainly simmering under the surface, but it wasn't front and center. And, you know, there are certainly plenty of places we could go where I'm sure it would be a very, very different story. And we hope to continue traveling around, and maybe we'll be landing in those spots, too.
Find some of those stories.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for journalists, I want to get your feeling on this. Tell me how you see the challenge for journalists. We as an institution are possibly under the greatest attack we've ever felt, with the president actually calling some major news organizations an enemy of the people. How does this make you feel personally, and how do you see this in the larger scheme of things affecting our profession?
Right. I think it's a huge problem, and I think part of the challenge is the siloing of information, and how do you communicate with people who might be inclined to just get their news from one source, right? So how do you reach broadly into the audience, the listening audience in our case, to make sure that people are hearing what you want to convey? I do think people get really locked into their news sources, and it's a problem. I think we try to deal with that every day. What keeps me energized and excited is I do think the public radio audience is extremely diverse. Everywhere we go, we have found people who you might not assume would be public radio listeners, but they are. They want to be smart. They want to be informed. And it's, you know, it's the role of stations like this one, which is so vital in communities like this, to bring audiences together. Public radio has a great communal effect, I think, in terms of creating community, creating bonds in places. I think people value that. And I think at a time like this, that there's a reason we're seeing audience numbers spiking, because I think people are really hungry for news that is fair and accurate and truthful. That's a really vital role to play. And I think all of us nationally and here at the stations are really engaged in that mission. I mean, that is part of who we are. That is the core of what we're doing right now.
Do you feel since the election that there is this extra sense that when you're out and about in communities, that there is more suspicion because of all of the attacks on journalists? And I mention this because I'll share an anecdote of my own. I was shocked one day that I was meeting with my staff in a restaurant, and someone was eavesdropping on some of the things we were talking about and came up to the table and said, we know fake news. And you don't have to worry. We know what's fake and real. And I've been a journalist for over a quarter of a century. I've never had that happen before.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, well, I shouldn't be surprised, because this is different. We're living in a different time now. It's comforting, I suppose, to not feel that way and to say, well, it was just an election.
But right, just an anomaly, but there's something more pervasive
there. Something's happening.
Yeah, we haven't encountered it. I wouldn't be surprised if we do along the way. I find it really troubling. I find the notion that a story that you might not like becomes instantly fake news, branded as false when it's just a narrative that runs counter to what you would want to think. That's deeply troubling, and I think it's something that is really going to be a challenge for every news organization to try to pierce that bubble and to challenge that perception.
Yeah, what's it been like for you traveling the country? I mean, you've always done interviews and reporting, even when you were anchoring all things considered, so that you didn't have the freedom to do what you're doing now and traveling all over the country for a long period. What's it like?
It's pretty great, I have to say. I mean, I should say it has not been continuous. I have a family back home in Washington, D.C. who want to see me, so I get out on the road for, say, a stretch of a week at a time and then go home and re-energize and head back out. But it's been really fun. Part of what's been great is that I've managed to go to places I've never been. It's shocking to me that I had never been to the U.S.-Mexico border before. I've been a journalist for 30-some years, and I had never been to the U.S.-Mexico border. That box is checked, and I feel much more enlightened for having been. We were in Nogales on both sides of the border, having been there and seen that. I had never been to Michigan. We're doing a story from Hamtramck, Michigan, which is a really interesting enclave, a city of its own, but set in right in the middle of Detroit. Used to be very Polish, overwhelmingly Polish. Workers came to the auto factories. It's now largely Yemeni and Bangladeshi. And the sort of the connection and collision of those cultures is a fascinating story to tell. It's a city that has revitalized itself many times over. But so Michigan's off the list. What else? Where else have I gone that I hadn't been before? Kansas I had been to, but was happy to get back to. We're hoping to get up to Alaska, and Mississippi. We went to the Mississippi Delta, which was also a place that I'd always been really curious about and wanted to spend time in. So it's been really fun to sort of link the parts of the country that I'm just really curious about and intrigued by with really interesting stories that we can uncover along the way.
We love your stories.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We thank you so much for spending time with us here.
Always happy to have a chance to get back to New Mexico.